Welcome to the Practical Prepping Podcast. We're helping everyday people become prepared for whatever emergencies come our way. Where gear is good, but knowledge is better, because the more you know, the less you have to carry. We're your hosts, Mark and Krista Lawley.
You know, a lot of times we set ourselves up for failures. We either don't do something or we do something wrong, and we have the best of intentions, and we find ourselves really unable to succeed because of something that we have done.
And, you know, the worst way to find that out is in the middle of a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's, you know, it's real talk, it's really happening, this is not a do-over. So it's very vital that we set ourselves up as preppers in the very best ways that we know how.
In everything in life, it's important that we set ourselves up the best of our ability to have the best chance that we possibly can to succeed in that endeavor. And that's what we're talking about tonight on episode number 84. We're going to deal with failures in preparedness.
And we picked this topic because for about a year now with this podcast, we've been advising our dear listeners on the things that you should do. And so tonight's podcast, we're turning a corner and we're talking about the things that perhaps you should not do or the things you should avoid doing. And I think that's good to have that perspective because I think every one of us could contribute something along the way that we've failed at and have learned from. I mean, turn it into a learning lesson, but try not to fail when the SHTF happens.
Right. And, you know, when we define SHTF, a lot of people think that's only when it's the end of the world as we know it, when we have had an EMP or the aliens invade or the zombies come out or the meteor struck.
The Hollywood type of scenario.
Right. And the end of the world as we know it is going to be a tremendously bad situation. And in that kind of a situation, you're probably only talking about 10% of the earth surviving anyway.
And then what's left to survive into is forever changed.
Right.
So that's kind of thinking sort of far out.
Okay. Well, where I was going is so many people think of those being the only SHTF situation that we could encounter. Well, COVID was an SHTF for a lot of folks.
For pretty much the whole world. You know, a pandemic is mm-hmm. the game everybody can play.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not the end of the world as we know it, but the stuff hit the fan, and it hit it hard. And we can have, we prepare a lot for weather events here in North Alabama. Tornadoes come across here quite regularly. The southern coast has hurricanes coming in. And so in Alabama, we prepare a lot for weather situations. Now, we don't prepare for avalanches. We really don't prepare for earthquakes.
Or volcanoes.
I don't even know where our nearest volcano would be. Probably up in the northwest somewhere. We want to look at some of the things that set us up for failure in the preparedness arena. And the first one is not having a plan. Now, Ben Franklin said, failing to plan is planning to fail.
Very true.
Pretty good quote.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the examples of what we're talking about here is asking the question, what do you need for prepping? And what is your plan for stocking it or learning it?
If you have to bug out, do you have a plan for where you will go? And how do you plan to get there? And when is it time to bug out? So often you'd mentioned weather. A lot of times hurricanes can be a deciding factor for many, many people that live on the coastlines. When do you bug out? And some will say, well, I'm going to stick around for a Cat 1 or a Cat 2, but a Cat 3 or more.
You have to make that decision.
And it varies. A Cat 2 can be devastating mm-hmm. if it brings a lot of flooding and wind damage to your area. Or think about wildfires. There's some wildfires raging right now all across the California area and the Northwest area. It seems to be a common occurrence, sadly. And also floods. There's been some catastrophic rainfall this summer, and there have been many places that have had very rapid rising flood water. So a lot of people have been impacted by that. Also, chemical spills. You know, all it takes is one big long freight train to jump a track and it's full of ammonium nitrate or what have you. or some sort of biohazardous type material to cause you to have to evacuate, and you don't have 24 hours to think about it. They're mm-hmm. knocking on your door, and they're saying, you have to go now. You have 5 minutes to get out.
Now, you mentioned trains. What about trucks running up and down the highway?
Absolutely. There's many of these tanker-type trucks that are filled with all sorts of natural and chemical substances. And they spill that all over the highway. You got a mess.
Suffice it to say, they carry some things that can kill you.
Sometimes you just have to leave.
Absolutely. Now, in those kinds of times, you're probably looking at being able to go back if you have a place to go back to, but you have to determine, when do you bug out? If you're going to bug out, where are you going to go? Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan of how you will get there? Now, if you're bugging in, how will you make it?
Also, a scenario there would be if you're caught somewhere, like in a devastating snow or ice storm, mm-hmm. that's one of the biggest ways to bug in.
Yeah, how about tornadoes and hurricanes?
Yeah, sometimes you have to hunker down for safety in your home, and your home actually may survive or at least be very lightly impacted by a tornado, and your neighbor's home may be destroyed.
Or you may be barely impacted by a particular hurricane personally, but what about the community? Are you going to be able to buy food? Can you buy water? Can you buy supplies?
I remember in North Carolina, a big hurricane, I can't remember the name of it because it's been over 10 years ago. It took out the main bridge thoroughfare. When that roadway from the mainland of North Carolina to the Outer Banks was taken down, it was months. People were traveling by boat because the bridge was down. Mm-hmm. Makes a difference.
So how do you handle that kind of thing? You make a plan, and not having a preparedness plan is planning to fail at prepping.
There's a term called a shotgun approach, and I guess that means not having a plan.
Well, a lack of organization.
Yeah, just kind of
is one of the things that you can get, and you don't have a plan, you don't have an organized plan, and you just buy this, buy that, buy something else, do this, do that.
You're not even preparing them in a certain place where you know you can put your hands on these products too.
Possibly not. Now, in our book, we talk about doing a threat assessment, and then we talk about making an emergency plan. I would add, make a prepping plan so that you can steadily add preps.
You know, lacking your organization does make prepping and preparedness much more difficult, and it leaves gaping holes in all of your prepping. Murphy's Law says you will find out about those holes at the most inopportune time.
And we saw that in Texas with the snowstorms. Folks found that they didn't have enough propane. Some found that they didn't have enough water stored when the water froze. Some found that they had to scramble to find a plan to be able to water and feed the cattle. So you find some holes in there, and some of those come about because of a lack of organization.
You know, the news just this week mentioned the catastrophic ice storm in Texas that you just referenced. And this week they're talking about the amount of harvest that's not going to be taking place mm-hmm. because it destroyed so much harvest. And what that's going to do is that's going to impact the grocery stores and the supply places. And so the people that are depending on those grocery stores to have that grain, that wheat, those meat products, they're just not going to be there.
And we also saw some flooding in some other areas that took out a lot of the crops. So we've got some crop issues across the country, mm-hmm. and we may not be able to get as much imported like rice. China might say, hey, we're going to need all this rice for us, and they may not send us as much rice as we were hoping for.
And our rice, which we grow in America, can be impacted by floods. I know rice loves a lot of water, but they don't like a devastating flood.
Let's just talk about some general categories here. We've mentioned that shotgun approach to prepping, and that's what we don't really want to be doing. We want to plan and organize and approach it in such a way, in sort of a methodical way, that we can get to where we need to get to. So let's just talk about the general categories of prepping that we need to address. And the first is food and water. Regardless of what SHTF situation or what puts us into going into our preps, whether it's ice, snow, whether it is economic collapse, whether it is another COVID lockdown, we're going to have food and water. And drinking water is an absolute must.
It's actually more important than the food, as your body must have hydration. To go without it for 3 days is a life-threatening situation. You can actually go without food. They have studied this. A total of 21 days. Now, I wouldn't want to be one of those people that does that.
I would be a grumpy kitty.
Yeah. But you cannot survive usually more than 3 days without some form of water hydration. So maximize your water preps to the very best of your ability. It's important.
Okay, so food and water. And then shelter. Now, usually for most of us, most situations that we're going to get into, our home is going to be our shelter. In an ice storm, can you stay warm in your home if you lose power? How will you stay warm?
Start thinking about it.
Another category is fire. Now, we often think about bugging out into the woods and having to start a fire to cook or whatever out there. But under this scenario, with being stuck at home and no power, how will you prepare food? Now, if you have a gas stove, you're in good shape.
Or a gas grill or a charcoal grill.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what's your backup plan for fire? And by fire, I mean heat. How are you going to prepare food?
Another area is the security of your shelter. And we are talking about your home. Most homes, most homeowners will spend the money to put in smoke alarms, CO2 detectors, fire extinguishers, eliminate hiding places around entryways. That discourages known thugs that may want to break into your home. And so you've got to be able to defend your domicile.
And that last part of that is home defense. How would you defend someone trying to come in? But security is another major category. How about communications? How will you receive information?
Right. Do you have access to weather radio that even in a power down situation, the weather radio can still operate? Will you have power and have access to TV, radio, and internet? And if you don't have electricity, how will you receive information? And how will you communicate with others on the outside?
For the biggest portion of folks, the way to communicate outside is cell phone, because we've quit having landlines in the house. Now, landline will continue to work with the power out, usually. Not always in an ice storm if it tears the lines down. But when it comes to that cell phone, you may not be able to complete a phone call and yet can get out a text message. We had that after a major tornado here that came across our family. And it took 22 minutes to be able to hear from them by text message, but it was hours before we were able to talk to them actual voice to voice.
Oh, I'm certain at that particular moment of time, there was an overload of communication and call, and also a teardown with it tore up the communication towers. And also, you know, when you've got 155,000 people that are wanting to use their cell phone all at one time, well, you can imagine there's a limit.
It overloads the system, and voice uses a lot more bandwidth. So if you are in a situation and cannot use that telephone, you keep getting that busy circuit, just use a text message. Send out a text message, and that will usually get through a lot easier. So communications is a general category that we need to look at. How about lighting? What are you going to do when the lights go out?
Right, because without power, without any kind of street lights or outdoor lights or indoor lights, it's going to get mighty dark at night. So you've got to have some safe and effective ways to light your home. And keeping in mind your situation, if you've got children or pets, you've got to consider what's going to be the safe alternative for lighting. And a large array of flaming candles may not be the best choice if you've got toddlers and cats that like to jump everywhere. Do consider some flameless candles, flashlights, some lanterns that are operated with batteries, that sort of thing. And there's a wide, vast array of lighting devices that can be used safely in your home. Just make sure you stock up on those batteries.
Now, another category that we need to be concerned about is personal finance. We need to build that emergency fund. You need to be able to pay for the basic necessities that you may get into. What happens if you blow a tire? What happens if your battery goes down? what happens if you lose your job and you don't find another one for a month.
Oh, yes. Financial analysts will tell people that just for starters, to have about 6 months worth of living expenses stowed away, that includes mortgages, rent, food, insurance, everything you spend per month, they're saying that you should have about a minimum of 6 months stowed away.
And that's a very good idea, but you also need that emergency cash fund as well.
You do need cash because sometimes if you're in a, say, a tornado-stricken area and there's no power, but there's businesses that are open, they're not going to be able to run their credit card machine, their debit card machine.
And a lot of times they open cash only.
Well, that's all that's going to work is cash. So do you consider, and we're not talking about having $100 bills in your pocket. That's rather impractical. A lot of times having some ones, fives, tens, and twenties in American money, we're talking to our American neighbors now, having the lower denominations gives you a lot more leverage and latitude. So don't necessarily feel that you've got to pack up your pockets full of $100 bills. You may go to buy a pack of batteries and nobody's got change and all you have is $100.
And you don't even need to carry all of this on you. As a matter of fact, it's a better idea not to carry it all on you, but have it where you can access it in certain situations.
Exactly.
And also under personal finance is reducing debt. Let's get out from under that credit card debt. Let's get out from under things that we don't need to be purchasing on credit. Let's don't do that. Let's cut that down as much as we possibly can.
It's a form of freedom, actually, to get out of debt. Think of it as being enslaved, and your freedom is in sight once that debt has been cleared. So you can free yourself from being enslaved to that debt. And so that's a good image to look at.
I've been there. And I've not. And being there feels a whole lot better.
To be out of debt. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I just want to tell you about a couple of books that you need to add to your collection and give as gifts. I highly encourage that you go to Amazon and look up this title, Making Contact During Emergencies. This is information that may save your life or the life of someone you care about. If injured, lost, or found in a disaster or another type of emergency. This book was written by Mark and Krista Lally. I'm Krista and Mark is my husband. Book number two that we wrote that we're especially proud of and has gotten a lot of buzz is entitled Practical Prepping for Everyday People. This is a common sense guide on preparing for life's emergencies. And when we say practical prepping, we mean the type of emergencies you're going to find yourself in and day out. Car emergencies, dead batteries, flat tires, storm damage. The roof has gotten blown off. You find that you have no power, no electricity, no devices are working. These kinds of things are happening to somebody somewhere every single day. And we were astonished when we did a little research to find that a vast majority of people found themselves woefully unprepared for one or more of these types of emergencies. And particularly after this COVID year that we've experienced, I think a whole lot more of us are paying closer attention to things like grocery store supply chains, the ability to be able to buy gas, the ability to be able to move freely about, or what's going to happen if we do have to stay home for 3 weeks solid. Practical Prepping for Everyday People by Mark and Krista Lally, also Making Contact During Emergencies. Go to Amazon, look these up, add these to your collection. We sure appreciate it.
Another thing is learnable skills.
We were talking the other day about rehearsing some of these things to actually know how to do it when you're not stressed and when you're not in an emergency, so that when the time comes that you are stressed and you are in an emergency, you'll know what to do. Just like every great musician must rehearse their instrument or their voice, you as a prepper should be rehearsing your learnable skills. And one of those would be how to purify water.
And this is one of those things where if we're making our plan, let's put that plan together that has how to purify water. Let's make a three-ring binder, and this page is how to purify water, and here's four ways to do that.
Yes, because you're not always going to have the same situation in every emergency, so give yourself the knowledge and the education to learn how to do different things.
All right, another skill we need to learn is starting a fire.
Oh, yes. There's at least half a dozen different ways that I know of, maybe more, on how to get a good fire started.
And hooking up a generator, if you have one.
Yes, and you want to pay very close attention to that, because a generator is a very serious piece of machinery, and you've got to be extremely careful when dealing with electricity, and you've got to learn how to use that and be very, very mindful of being correct and proper when using your generators.
And we list these categories right now as we talk about a lack of organization. These are some categories that you need to pay attention to and you need to put into your emergency plan. So we've talking about those general categories and some of the things that we can do that set us up for failure. And one of those things is buying gimmicky, low-quality gear.
This is a major prepper fail. Mm-hmm. And too many times, folks have bought something that was very inexpensive that promised to do 38 different functions like a multi-tool, and it's going to save you time and save you money, and it may just be so gimmicky and so cheap, basically.
And it's one of those must-have prepper gear.
You're not a survivalist unless you have such and such. And it turns out to just be, I'm just going to say it in real talk, a piece of junk.
Mm-hmm. When we were kids, several of us wanted this particular survival knife. And I don't know, it had like 29 functions to it. And what it was a cheap knife, about a 6-inch blade. And it had a screw cap with a hollow handle. And you could put a few matches and a few fish hooks and a piece of sandpaper and a couple of Band-Aids and a little bit of fishing line. And we had the idea that if you had that, you could spend a week in the woods.
Oh, my goodness. And probably it broke on the very first use.
Well, I never did get it, but I knew some guys that got it, and it broke.
Yeah.
It didn't take long.
The point here is the prepper fail is if you're buying something, if you're making a decision on a product or a piece of gear strictly on the low price, then the old adage of you get what you pay for is really going to come to the forefront, because you may have to be depending on a tool or a device to survive. And if it's cheaply made and badly put together and does not have good reviews and does not have a long legacy of workmanship and a company that will stand behind it and warranty it and guarantee it, you're just wasting your $2 or whatever it is you've blown.
And don't go on what somebody else says you must have on a particular piece of equipment,
yes,
a particular brand or a particular style, something like that. Do your homework. Think through that thing. Look at it. I've made up my mind. I wanted to buy something. And if I spend a day or two looking at it and, you know, thinking through it, I said, you know, there's better ways to do that. There's more cost-effective ways. There's higher quality. Don't be buying gimmicky or low-quality equipment. Now, with that said, you can only afford what you can afford.
Of course.
If you can afford a $10 knife and not a $100 knife, buy a $10 knife. A knife is better than no knife.
That is true.
But buy the best quality you can and stay away from the gimmicky stuff.
Another prepper fail is the person that thinks that just buying and stocking water and food and survival gear, just buying it and putting it up, that they are now fully prepared, and they sort of quit. They stop. Mm-hmm. They may add this or that over the years or so, but they've, in their mind, I'm a prepper because I have purchased these things and I've stored them.
And some of those folks have no skills whatsoever.
Yeah,
they don't know how to use what they bought.
They've got fire starters, couldn't tell you how to use mm-hmm. them. They have all sorts of knives and gear and gadgets and gizmos and paracord and hatchets and folding shovels and the whole game plan. Never took them out of the package. Don't know how they work. Don't know how they go together. Never used it.
We need some skills.
It's like buying a car and never driving it. You're right. Not a driver. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
like
hear me.
And along that same line of what you're preaching right there is not practicing with their gear.
Yes. And I even admit that I have fallen behind on some of these things as well. So I need to re-up on some of my skills and sharpen those skills once again that I have learned from times past that I haven't used in a little bit of a while.
So you can't just order a fire starter, throw it in the bag, and you're ready for it. I've got a fire starter here, and I know how to use a ferro rod. I've started fires with ferro rod. and I picked up this particular ferro rod, and I've yet to get a good spark out of it.
Mm.
So we need to practice and test what we use. So that one's not in the bag.
I see. But you can't rely on that one.
Another thing is commercial tinder.
Yes, you may not be in a situation where you can grab together some dry leaves and some dry pine straw. You may be in an urban setting and where you're hidden in a small corner under some stairs. You may need something that will burn, but there's no dry leaves anywhere.
Right, but these commercial tinder, each one functions just a little bit differently.
They do.
You need to treat it just a little bit differently. And water purification tablets, if you've never used them, then you really don't know whether you're doing it right or not.
Right.
So you need to practice with your gear. How about a backpack stove or a rocket stove?
Right. Those things take a little bit of rigging to put it together to make it work. So go ahead and rehearse that. Create a meal on your backpack stove or your rocket stove. Get the feel for what sort of cookware mm-hmm. you're going to need and what the temperature needs to be. You're not going to necessarily have an oven timer.
When we bought our little camp stove as a backup here, if the power goes out, because we have an electric stove here, and we bought that little propane camp stove to use here as a backup, and to take camping with us, and you've cooked several meals on that. So
yes,
you know how it operates, mm-hmm. you know what to expect out of it, and most importantly, we've made coffee with it, so we know we have that down pat.
Good coffee.
She loved the camp percolator so much that she bought one for here at the house, an electric percolator.
And I got to admit, I like the camp percolator coffee better.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I just do.
Well, we can save some money on electricity if you just start using that one all the time.
We'll never be without coffee. We totally prep coffee, people.
We have added a way for our listeners who would like to support the podcast to do so. We love our coffee. So you can go to buymeacoffee.com/practical prep and buy us a cup of coffee. That's buymeacoffee.com/practical prep.
Another prepper fail is getting overwhelmed. It's that feeling of trying to do too much at one time. It's realizing you need to prep. You start doing a little bit of study and you think, well, I need all of this stuff and I need 3-6 months. I need a year's worth of food. I'm overwhelmed. I will never get caught up with this. And that's a normal feeling for a lot of folks,
uh-huh.
is trying to do too much at once. Now, the good thing is that you can assess your personal threats, and your threats may be different than our threats. Like Chris said a while ago, we're not real concerned about volcanoes in North Alabama. It's not a problem. But we assess the threats that we have, and regardless of what the threats are, food and water fit into almost every single threat that we are prepping for.
Absolutely. You've got to keep your machine going.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know also make a plan. If you're on your own, you need to delegate yourself on what is going to be the most important things to think about and just sit back and breathe and realize that you've got to keep a clear head.
And break those things down into manageable tasks.
Absolutely.
You know, if you've got 2 days worth of food in the house, and Chris commented before we started recording that there are a lot of people that have, well, 45% of Americans anyway, have less than 3 days worth of food in the house.
For the whole family.
For the whole family. And so your goal, your first goal, if you're breaking things down to manageable tasks, might be to have 1 week's worth of food and to have 1 week's worth of water, or to add one item to your preps.
That's at least going to give you a start,
mm-hmm.
so that you can build on that.
That's all we're after, is getting started and continuing on. Set some goals. You can set a goal for 1 week and then 3 weeks and then maybe 3 months. And if you want to, maybe longer.
Absolutely. We've got some newbie preppers that have let us know that they do feel comfortable with a year's supply of food. that they have already purchased. And we're not talking about that big 25-year bucket type thing. We're talking about just going to the grocery store little by little, adding this, adding that, and making sure they've stored plenty of water in different ways, like gallon jugs or individual drinking bottles and so on.
And they did not do that in a week.
No, they didn't. They
broke it down.
Broke it down.
They got started, and they stuck to a plan.
Something else that can be a prepper fail is not being consistent. Now, a lot of folks really had their eyes opened this last year of 2020 because of COVID. We had so many different lockdowns, and then we realized that grocery stores were closed and restaurants were closed and entertainment venues were closed and schools were closed, businesses were closed, churches were closed, basically society closed. And so we're faced with a sudden, quick, fast, and in a hurry emergency pretty much for everybody. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a particular region. It was a disaster for the whole country.
And so many came out of this having gotten started, but they stopped prepping.
Yeah, they weren't consistent with it.
No, and, you know, things kind of, air quotes here, got back to normal. They found toilet paper. They found they could go to the grocery store. The shelves were restocked. And they relaxed. They believed it was all over.
Right.
But now another crisis will come.
Never if, always when.
It's not if, it is when.
That's true.
You said it exactly right. It may be COVID. They're talking about some more lockdowns. They're talking about supply chain issues later this fall. A number of things that could happen, but folks aren't consistent. And folks also scramble when an event is approaching.
Well, that's what we saw with the whole toilet paper thing. Before you knew it, there was this rush to get bathroom tissue. I mean, who would have thought that? And then we went to places where you couldn't buy it. It wasn't there. And then when they did have it, they limited you to one package or whatever. And we'd never lived that kind of way before. Mm-hmm. No, Americans have never lived with the notion of, I can't go buy what I want when I want it. Well, guess what? That happened, and it could happen again.
And it does happen quite regularly. Every time there's a hurricane coming, people can't find plywood or water.
Nope, or batteries or generators.
So why don't we go ahead, if we're in a hurricane zone, go ahead and buy some plywood, cut it to fit the windows, and store it. You know you're going to need it at some point.
It's going to happen.
And it's better to be able to get it before you need it, then try to get into that scrum down there of folks trying to buy the last sheet of toilet paper, the last sheet of plywood. And you mentioned generators. You know, when you have a snow in the South, you can't find a generator.
Mm-mm.
When they say snow is coming, it seems like people go and buy generators. And it's an issue that we need to deal with ahead of time. And certainly in the South, when they mention snow, you won't find any milk and bread.
Well, yeah, and that's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but that's the big joke around here when you say what we call the S word, snow, in the deep South like we're living in, that it's apparently time to make bread, milk sandwiches, because the milk and the bread gets gone first. I don't know.
It's a conspiracy between the weathermen and the producers of milk and bread. It's a conspiracy, folks.
Well, another really bad fail, and this is where, you know, something that I've really had to address as well, and that is something in our personality that makes us procrastinate. Put it off. Think about it tomorrow. Think about it next week. Think about it next month. Just deal with it later, and you know what? Later never comes. And what happens? An emergency happens.
And we dealt with it. Go back and listen to episode number 77, Dealing with Procrastination.
Mm-hmm. And don't put that off.
Don't.
do after the podcast. But after this podcast, do not procrastinate. Listen to episode 77.
So listen 77. To 84, then 77.
Right.
And then start at the beginning and do it over. In that podcast, we identify some of the causes of procrastination.
One of those is a lack of self-discipline.
And I just hit me square in the eyes with that. A lot of times I know what I need to do, and I actually choose to do something else.
Oh.
Sometimes it's because we don't prioritize that particular thing that we need to be doing.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to prepping, We must get started and we must be consistent if we're going to succeed.
And there's no way around that. Mm-mm. It's like exercising the body for good health. There's really no substitute for that. Just do it. You'll always thank yourself later because you'll know it's the right path to take and it always comes with the greatest level of success.
So why don't you recap what we've covered tonight and let's see how we can avoid preparedness failures.
Well, make a plan and work your plan. Remember, failing to plan is planning to fail. Try not to get overwhelmed. Realize that if you're going to be highly stressed in an emergency, you've got to be able to have a plan that you can rely on and fall back on that's going to be working for you. Take things one step at a time. You can't do 15 things at one time. Most of the time we can do one thing at a time. We might call ourselves multitaskers, but if we're actually doing one thing at a time. Be consistent. If you're going to prep, prep slowly and steadily. Prep in the good times and the bad times. Just be consistent. Spend your money wisely. Put some emergency cash in various locations. Don't forget where you've put it. Remember that that is an emergency cash. If you don't have to use your emergency cash, hold on to it. Use it when you absolutely must and have no other way. Learn your skills and practice your skills. Learn how to purify water. Learn how to start a fire. Learn how to put up a tarp tent with paracord between two trees. Learn how to put plastic bags around your footwear to keep your feet dry. Practice these things. Practice your skills. Practice cooking on a rocket stove. Practice walking around with nothing but a flashlight for illumination. You just need to understand that if you'll practice these things, it won't feel foreign to you when you need to rely on them. And most of all, don't be discouraged. We're all going to face some kind of a crisis or an emergency of one level or another. It's not if, it's when. Just be a person that can glide through this and know that you've got the skills and the resources at your fingertips to be able to withstand whatever comes your way. You're going to find that relying on yourself is a great quality, and others who rely on you will be in forever grateful for what you're doing for them to help them. So that's our podcast tonight on calling attention to prepper fails. We want to minimize those to the point of zero. We don't want to fail. We want to practice and learn.
We want to set ourselves up to succeed when it comes to preparedness, and we want to avoid every pitfall that we possibly can when it comes to failures in preparedness. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today, and please leave us a 5-star review. That helps more people be able to hear this podcast. Share it with your friends and family. You can reach us on Facebook at Practical Prepping, email at info@practicalprepping.info, and our website is practicalprepping.info. And as always, remember, stuff happens. Stay prepared.